In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whippin' Poof is the name of a famous male choral ensemble from Yale University. Organized in 1909, it is the oldest a cappella group of this type in the country. The group is comprised of outstanding singers, and they bring great credit to their university. While the Whippin' Poofs have many outstanding classical and contemporary songs in their repertoire, they are identified by their signature song, the chorus of which is, "We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba. We are little black sheep who have gone astray. Ba, ba, ba. Gentlemen songsters off on a spree, lost from here to eternity. Lord, have mercy on such as we. Ba, ba, ba." All of which is to say, welcome to Good Shepherd Sunday. Yes, here we are again. Good Shepherd Sunday comes around every year. Actually, there's no official label in the prayer book or in the calendar that says Good Shepherd Sunday. The calendar says the fourth Sunday of Easter. But if you look at the lectionary, you will discover that each year's gospel deals with Jesus as a shepherd. And in fact, the attending lessons to the gospel and the psalm also have that shepherd sheep theme. And of course, every year the collect is, "O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people." You get the picture? It's Good Shepherd Sunday. These gospels for each of the 3 years are taken from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to John. They're often referred to as the shepherd discourses. So it is that chapter 10 deals with a number of references that use that sheep-shepherd imagery. In today's passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. In fact, he's talking to them all the way through the 10th chapter. He's been talking to them for some time. He was talking to them in the 9th chapter as well. In fact, Jesus keeps talking to them all the time. Wonder why? He's saying to the religious leaders that they do not understand that being a shepherd, a leader, involves sacrifice, the giving of oneself. I think Jesus sees that these leaders, and as is so easily the case, that these leaders have the notion that being a shepherd entitles them to some sort of special deference, as opposed to those who are being led. Of course, if we look at other accounts of Jesus' discourse and teaching, we'll find amazing consistency and congruency. Jesus is consistent with his message. He keeps on keeping on, as it were, pointing out the same issues for people and using different images, trying to get their attention to do so. He keeps on trying, but he's also congruent. His message and the images he uses are all combined to make the same point. He stays on message, as they would say today. And his message is this: the kingdom of God is now. It has begun. And the kingdom of God is characterized by loving sacrifice. Thus he says, "She who would be first must be last." He says, "He who would be first must be servant of all." he says. You need to care for the least of these. So, one of the things we can take away from this passage today is that while Jesus is using seemingly poetic and pastoral language, which evokes rather sweet notions of little lambs and tender shepherds, Jesus is actually doing an in-your-face confrontation with the Pharisees, telling them that they are lousy leaders. Now, he's already done this. In chapter 9, he did it with light and darkness. He did it with blindness and sight. In fact, in the last, very last part of chapter 9 in John's gospel, Jesus ends up saying that you Pharisees are blind. You know why he said that? Because Jesus had healed a blind man on Sunday, or the Sabbath rather, and the Pharisees were very upset with him. Jesus says to them, he is no longer blind, but you are blind because you can't see what is obvious. All of our lessons and the psalm today relate to this imagery of sheep and shepherd, and the behaviors and expectations we can have because of our relationship with one true shepherd. As I was preparing to become an interim minister or interim rector, I took some courses, and one of the things we had was a book called Temporary Shepherds. Temporary Shepherds. In fact, the lowest on the totem pole I have ever been was when I came over here to help out. Now, I was working somewhere else to eat, but they asked me to help out over here. And I was the part-time temporary assistant to the interim part-time rector. I felt the power. Clergy are often referred to as rectors and shepherds, I mean. And of course, we see the bishop as our primary shepherd. He and she carries a shepherd's crook. But because they're a bishop, they can't call it a shepherd's crook. They have to call it a crozier. But we have special words for everything. We're Episcopalians. You may remember last week that Bishop Lee was here. If you saw Bishop Lee, you will notice he had a wonderful shepherd's crook. And he stood at that altar, and as he blessed us, you really did get the sense of a shepherd kind of sending the flock out, saying, go out, do good, have a wonderful time, be great Christians, do your thing. Now, but we can only take this business of the imagery of sheep and shepherds and all that so far. Now, clergy do, they do, I must say, see themselves as shepherds. But we've discovered quickly that our congregation don't see themselves as sheep. I've seen those Episcopal churches where the parking lot would have a sign that says, Rector. I wonder what it would be like if they put shepherd on that sign, and then for the other 275 parking places, it would say, sheep, 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 sheep. I think that's spiritual blindness too, maybe. We don't think so much of sheep, really. We see sheep as dumb, docile, and domestic, and we see ourselves as sharp, slick, and savvy. I see myself as using alliteration. There is a tendency to disregard these agricultural and more primitive examples that Jesus uses. After all, we are so much more sophisticated than those people that Jesus was talking to, those farmers and those fishermen. They could relate to an example about sheep and shepherds and seeds and sowing. We need other things to relate to, like email and text and tweet and virtual reality examples. So thinking of ourselves as sheep may be distasteful. Most of us have the notion that sheep are dumb animals. We're disdainful of sheep because they seem so dependent upon the shepherd that takes care of them. Sheep just move and eat and have their being in flocks, and they seem very docile, and they seem very much alike. And we don't find much to admire or to emulate in that imagery. So being like sheep is not a positive image for modern Americans. In our shiny, towering cities, driving our huge SUVs on freeways that are monstrous, with cell phones permanently attached to our ears, it's pretty hard for us to relate to this itinerant preacher from the first century of the Common Era. Like I said, you don't find sheep that think they can become shepherds. So this is where the metaphor breaks down. You know what? I think Jesus knew that. He knows he's talking about people. He's using metaphor. And he's thinking, you're sheep, but you think you can call the shots and control the outcomes and have it your way. You see, shepherds do call the shots for sheep, and the sheep seem to like it that way. We don't think of anybody calling the shots for us. And in fact, you realize now, do you not, by this time, that that's always been our problem. In the very first chapter of our holy book, we have two people. And guess what? They want to call the shots. Makes the shepherd mad. They lose the home place over it anyway. Yet for all of our disdain about these ancient images, I can't help but think, when I read this gospel and I think about us, the collective us, I can't help but remember that old Ivy League drinking song. That's what it really is. We live in a lot of angst. We live in a frenetic pace so much of our life. We are constantly exposed to violence all over the world. We are constantly exposed and sometimes victims of greed and selfishness that characterize so much of the world and our own country. We are living in a place that has huge apathy and lack of concern for the poor, the dispossessed, the refugee, the prisoner, the sick. We don't really care, even though we're the richest country in the world, that 25 or 50 million people are without health coverage. Might we? Could we? Are we like poor little lambs who've lost our way? Are we like sheep who've gone astray? In our stress and chaos and angst and fear, have we become like a binge drunk on a spree? Might we be lost in dread of eternity? Lord, have mercy on such as we. Lord, have mercy on such as we. We may be a whole lot more like sheep than we'd like to think. I'll remind you that you are just somebody's market share. You're just somebody's profile. You're just somebody's statistic. You're somebody's unit of service. And sometimes willingly we've divided ourselves into choosing different flocks. Certainly in our political process, we have different flocks. To be in the flock, you have to be in the party line. Conservatives believe this. Liberals believe this. Notice right and left. I thought that was... It's all choreography. If you want to be one of our people, this is what you need to agree to conform to. Then we have our age flocks and our race flocks and our nationalistic flocks. And thus, don't forget, please, our class / status flocks. We won't live among our own people. Birds of a feather, you know, do like to flock together. That's why we've resegregated our schools. Lord, have mercy on such as we. The confession in rite one of morning prayer says it so wonderfully. We have erred and strayed from our ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. Jesus is saying this morning that his sheepfold is a place of safety and protection. He is at the entrance, bidding in those who would come. Jesus is saying, I'm a lot more interested in you as a person than as somebody's statistic or somebody's number. I'm so interested in you, not because I want something from you or I want to get anything out of you. I want to see you in my sheepfold because I love you. And that's why he says, out of your angst, out of your chaos, out of your isolation, out of all the various flocks that you may find yourself in that separate you from your other brothers and sisters, after you're sick and damn tired of plurality and polls, he says, come to me. You weak, weary, and heavy-laden people, I will refresh you. And you won't get refreshed many other places. Our shepherd is a gentle provider of abundant, loving service. Those who follow him try to emulate that. Our shepherd, as opposed to all those who would clamor to lead you, is the one who not only would but did lay down his very life for you and for me, that you might have an abundant life. Good people, I'm convinced that God's word is fresh every morning. That just like Jesus told his friends and others, Jesus is telling us today, the kingdom of God is now. And it is characterized by loving, sacrificial service. And that service is done every day by those who will love and follow the Good Shepherd. Amen.